Let's listen to a reading from the Bible for this morning, and it's the story of Jesus' resurrection, and it comes from Matthew chapter 28. So you might want to pick up a Bible if you've got a Bible to hand, or open it on your tablet or your phone and read these words. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 1.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So let's turn to the Bible if we can. If you have the Bible in front of you, if you could turn to Matthew chapter 28, I want to spend a few minutes thinking about that passage that we had read for us a little while ago. It's a kind of strange season to be celebrating Easter. I think we've been exercised so much by not being able to meet in our building. I know that there's a bit of a debate about that, and some people think that we should just be courageous. And I heard a lady being interviewed on an American lady being interviewed on the television, who was driving to her church and saying, you know, "We're covered by the blood of Jesus, therefore, you know, we should be able to worship and go into our buildings." But I suppose the consideration is, you know, there are various considerations at work. We're still able to worship. We're worshiping like this, but we have to take other things into consideration. One being that we need to obey the authorities that are placed over us. And the second is we're supposed to love our neighbour. And I think one of the things that should concern us is the very real possibility that either we get infected by our friends or we infect our friends. So we're trying to love our neighbours by doing what we're doing. We're trying to be careful. But it does mean that a lot of the things that we would normally do, we've been completely unable to do. And yesterday we would have been having an Easter fun day and inviting families to come and join us, and we weren't able to do that. We'd have been visiting the local homes and distributing various things and trying to make contact with people. We've not been able to do that. And of course, we would have been gathering to worship in our church building, and we've been unable to do that. So it's been kind of disorientating. As a pastor, it's been disorientating for me to be going through this Easter season like this. However, we come to Easter Day in the midst of the difficulties that we face. Someone put up a prayer on one of our Facebook groups this morning, which said something like, "We're an Easter people living in a Good Friday world. You know, and Good Friday is a dark and difficult day because Jesus is crucified. Of course, we're remembering that it's his death, and through his death comes victory. It kind of runs counter to the way that we often think in life. But it's a difficult day. It's a hard day, and we're living in a hard day in our world. It's a painful time. And the longer this goes on, the longer we're in lockdown and we're unable to see family and friends, the more painful it is, I guess. And so what should we be doing on a day like this? How do we celebrate? How do we give thanks? Well, I think one way we do that is we turn to God's word, and let's get reminded again about what Easter Day, Easter Sunday is all about. Let's take a few moments to consider that. So we're going to look at Matthew 28 quite quickly, and I hope that something that is shared here might be helpful for us. You know, the reaction to the resurrection of Jesus is kind of, it's kind of glaringly obvious what happens when the disciples, who are completely disorientated and completely disturbed by what has happened, you know, their master, their teacher, has been killed. And so when they encounter the risen Jesus, it's fascinating to see how they respond. So in our reading this morning, when Jesus makes himself known to the women who had gone to the tomb, Jesus meets them in verse 9. Suddenly Jesus meets them. "Greetings," he said, or "hail" in the old kind of version of it. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. And then later on, towards the end of that chapter, when the other disciples, the 11, encounter him, that when they saw him, they worshipped him. Okay, some doubted, but they worshipped him. It's the natural reaction to encountering the risen Lord Jesus, is to worship him, is to bow before him. It's that great reminder, you know, we worship God, but we do worship Jesus. We worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you notice at the end of the chapter, it says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So there's the idea of the Trinity being built in there right at the beginning of the ministry of the disciples, right at the beginning of the birth of the church, if you like. And the key for us on this Easter day is that we come and worship the glorified, the risen Jesus. That's why we're meeting like this. Okay, we're meeting online rather than meeting in church together. But it should be the reaction that we have towards the knowledge that Jesus has risen from the grave. We're in this time when we're, you know, bombarded by the figures every day of the number of people who have contracted this terrible virus, and sadly, the number of people who have passed away because of it. And that can have a really negative effect on us. You know, if we watch the news all the time, that's all we can be living into. And death is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to happen, and it's a terrible thing when we cannot grieve as we would want to grieve alongside families and friends. But for those of us who are people of faith, we know that Jesus has conquered death. We are a people of hope. We live in the hope of the resurrection, and we see that in Jesus' resurrection. That's why it's such a positive day for those who are Christians, because we know that Jesus lives, therefore we will live too. So that's the first thing to take from that passage this morning, that we are to be people who worship the risen Jesus. May he help us to do that today as we think on him, as we consider him and all that he's done on his cross, dying for us, dying for the sin of the world, and rising to new life. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. In the resurrection of Jesus, we see the power of Jesus at work. Remember, you know, Jesus has been crucified in all weakness. You know, the Bible tells us that he gave up the glories of heaven to live a human life and suffer death on a cross, vulnerable, beaten, abuse hurled upon him, his body cruelly tortured, on the cross as he's put to death. But when we see the risen Jesus, we see that he has supreme power. You know, one of the themes that has come out again over the last few days, we heard it on Friday at the Good Friday Meditations. If you haven't listened to that, you might want to go back and listen to it. But one of the themes in the children's talk was this idea that God is in control. You know, the world is out of control. And Alistair referred to that as well when I was talking to him about what we might say or what we might talk about in that interview. I asked him, what have you learned and before the interview? And he repeated again in the interview that God is in control. And we see that in this passage, that Jesus has all authority. Did you see what was in the reading there? When Jesus came to the disciples in verse 18, when Jesus came to the disciples, he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority, not some authority, it's not limited authority. All authority has been given to him. So the question that some people might be asking is, where is God in the midst of this crisis? Where is God? Where is Jesus in the midst of this crisis? It's a great question, isn't it? It's a great question to be asking. But you know, the world is, in the last 2,000 years, has not been immune from suffering. And the problem for us, particularly in the West and the North, is that we have lived comfortable lives. And at the moment, our comfortable lives are being completely and utterly disrupted. Not disrupted that much. We're not able to leave our houses very much, and we're not able to go up into the hills. We can look out and see the Pentland Hills from our window. And yesterday was a particularly gorgeous day, and we looked at them, and with sadness, we're not able to go there to a place that we would love to be able to wander around. Wow, that's really difficult. That's suffering, isn't it? It's not that much in the way of suffering, but our world has been disrupted, you know, and we're far less comfortable, and the things that we take our comfort from, the belongings we have and the holidays that we should be having around about Easter time, have been taken away from us, and we feel that very much. And I wonder whether the Lord is saying something to us in that, asking us the question, what is the most important thing? What are the most important things in life? And Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth here is mine. So maybe this is a time when we reorientate ourselves towards the things of Jesus and to his authority. See, in the resurrection, we see his power mightily at work. So that's another thing, the second thing. We worship him, we see his power. The third thing that we might see is we see his kindness, the kindness of Jesus at work. And I'm thinking really about when we see what happens with the women who have encountered the angel at the tomb. The angel tells them, don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. You know, again, that's a sign of Jesus' power, that he when he says it, he means it. You know, the authority of Jesus, the authority of Scripture is really, really powerful. So they hear that word, Jesus said he was going to rise and he's risen. And the women are kind of, they respond to that. They say, go, you know, he's going to go ahead of you to Galilee and there you will see him. And now I have told you. So the women hurry away, verse 8, from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. So they're on the way to the disciples. They're filled with joy because the angel has told them this amazing news that Jesus has risen from the grave, but they're still afraid. And then we see what happens in verse 9. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings. Hail, he says, hail to them. And says hello and spends time with them. In verse 10 he says, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. And so we see this amazing kindness of Jesus. Jesus didn't have to kind of meet with them on the road, but he wanted to confirm to them there is hope. You know, I am alive. I am here. And in his love and in his kindness and in his mercy, he makes himself known, makes himself present. There is an overwhelming kindness in the heart of God for people. And I wonder if this time, this difficult time, that maybe that's something that we will encounter, the kindness of God. The kindness of God as he reaches out and reaches down to us to make himself known. He will do that through his people and through the kindnesses, the little kindnesses that we offer to one another. You know, if you're living with someone at the moment and you're kind of cooped up in a small house or even a big house, one of the things we all need to exhibit is kindness to one another. Well, the kindness that we exhibit reveals the kindness of God to one another. God is kind to us. He does not judge us as our sins deserve. He offers us forgiveness of sins. So this is an amazing time for us to receive his kindness and to show kindness to one another. So we worship the Lord. We see his power at work and we see his kindness at work. And then lastly, we see his purpose. We see the purpose of Jesus. You see, one of the things that's really hard for us right now is that maybe we're kind of a little bit lost. What is our purpose? So we're busy doing things that are important, like tidying up the house and cleaning the house, doing the garden. It's been fascinating watching the neighbours doing the garden. Some beautiful gardens in our area. But many of us are feeling kind of a little bit lost and a little bit without purpose. Some of us have maybe been furloughed from our jobs. Maybe some of us have lost our work. We've been made redundant. And that is a horrible place to be in. Furloughing is the idea behind it, is to try and make sure that people's jobs are retained for the future, and the government's trying to help businesses and charities and so on just to keep on the road when people are not able to go into work. And so I think that's a wonderful thing that is being done by our government. We may well be paying for it in the future, but it's necessary right now for people. But even so, if you've been furloughed, you might be enjoying the rest initially, but you know, you may feel that your reason for being has been lost, and you may feel a little bit purposeless at the moment. And that's hard, and we need to help one another and support one another and be understanding of one another in that. We need to have a kind of appreciation for what's going on in people's heart. I was reading a thing this week about the kind of effects of the lockdown and the uncertainty and the anxiety that is happening, and the tiredness that is created by it, and the kind of over the eating habits, the bad eating habits that we get into, and so on, and the effects that not being unsure of the future, not having a purpose, can have. So we need to be sensitive to one another around that. We can perhaps be a little bit cranky with one another because of that sense of loss. But it is, when we look at this passage from Matthew 28, one of the things that Jesus gives to those who follow him is purpose. Did you see that at the end of it? End of the chapter, when Jesus says to the disciples, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So Jesus comes and he gives purpose to his disciples. Now, our purpose has not ended because we're unable to meet in a building on a Sunday or during the week. Our purpose still exists. Our commissioning, that great commission that Jesus gave on the back of his resurrection, was to make him known, to make disciples. So we need to be disciples. If we are followers of Jesus, we need to live that out, and we need to be people who are living, being followers of Jesus wherever we find ourselves. You know, one of the things that we're doing right now is we're spending a lot of time online. Some of you are having to learn how to do online, and I know some folk are not very keen on Facebook and so on, and I understand all of that. But, you know, we have to live online. We have to use Zoom. We have to have conversation. We need to do interviews by Zoom. We need to live on a lot of internet-based technologies. And I just wonder whether that's an amazing opportunity to invite people to hear a little bit about Jesus, to know a little bit about him, to find out who he is and what he's done. All we need is a little bit of confidence that it's okay to do that, to share our faith with people and to be a little bit bolder with our faith, particularly because we are people of hope. That's what we're called to be. We're called to be people of hope. So why not share the one that we know, the one who is with us always, even to the end of the age? You see, that is our purpose. We are to be disciples, following Jesus by what we do and what we say, and we are to make disciples to help others come to know this living Lord Jesus. So let's worship him today. Let's acknowledge his great power. Let's receive the kindness that he's offering to us, and let's take on board the purpose that he has given to us to make disciples, to make followers of Jesus. And may God help us to do that today. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it speaks so clearly of the resurrection of Jesus. Help us to worship him today. Help us, Lord, to see his authority and his power and to accept it. Help us to receive the kindness that he extends to us, not judging us as our sins deserve, but offering us the forgiveness of sins and a new start. Help us to receive that kindness now. And Lord, help us to be filled with that holy purpose of making Jesus known, of making disciples. Give us confidence in this Easter message and help us to speak and to act as followers of Jesus, for we ask it in his name. Amen.